Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Monday, March 19th, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy Monday, Melody.
Happy Monday to you, too. And boy, oh boy, oh boy. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Wasn't that some cartoon?
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Was that Porky Pig or...
I don't know. Okay, well, anyway, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Email me, discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com if you know which cartoon character that was. And it was a cartoon, it was a kind of a cartoonish day in the markets. And we'll start with the precious metals first. Gold today was up $3.30. It's $1,317.90 off the high of $1,320. Silver, a little pressure, down 2 pennies, 16.41. Platinum was up $4 at $957. And palladium was down 7 at $995. USDX today didn't have a chance to follow many of the markets today, so this is a little bit of a new number for me today, too. 0.31 to the downside at 89.87. Crude oil was down 15 cents at 62.19. And we're going to go ahead and see. The Dow came back. It was down. I don't know if it went over 500 points, but it was close. It recovered. Only down a little over 1.3%, 335 points at 24,610. The NASDAQ was down 137 points at 7,344. The S&P was down 39 at 2,712. The tech stocks are the ones that got hit today. Heck, there was one tech stock, the CEO resigned. It dropped 45%. I mean, that's a big drop just after the CEO resigns. And, of course, you know he probably sold out his shares before he resigned, took his compensation, but left everybody else holding the bag. That's usually what happens. The 10-year yield, 2.84% down, down 0.11%. The euro, of course, was stronger, 0.53 to the upside at 1.23. Germany was down about the same amount as the Dow. London about the same. So they were both pressure on both of those European markets. Fear and greed index is still holding an extreme fear at 1.3 at 13. And, you know, it was a very active day in the markets. I got up early this morning, and the markets were down about a little over 100 points in the futures. When I did my morning wake up at 3 o'clock, I did go back to sleep this time, but they were down. And again, they slumped mainly because the tech companies, by reports of Facebook, data breach, and Apple, they're going to develop their own screen. So that kind of hit the Asian equities. Tech also led a retreat for the Stocks Europe 600 index, and Facebook fell the most since August of 2015. And it also, the tech route also added pressure that had mounted over the weekend, you know, with speculation growing that Trump could be preparing to fire Robert Mueller. And this all goes into if the Facebook didn't exist, if the Facebook news didn't exist, there would be all sorts of jitters here just given the Trump stuff. I'm not so sure that's true. This was reported by a Michael Purves, Whedon & Company's chief global strategist. I'm not sure that would have had any impacts on the market at all. Markets love Trump. And I don't, at this point in time, I don't think it would have much to do. I think also there could be some after effects, you know, from Larry Kudlow being appointed as his economic advisor. And yes, even though Kudlow is a strong dollar advocate and he hates gold, you know, when you tell the markets that and you tell the administration just let the economy go, pull the cap and just let it run, there's dangers there. And, you know, it gives time to filter down to the markets and, you know, it has an impact on the confidence from around the world. And we still need those foreign buyers to buy our debt. So I'm not quite sure. I think there's a little bit of everything that was going on today as far as the market's dropping. We'll still have to see what goes on tomorrow. It should be a busy week, and of course, the biggest focus for the markets will be the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell doing his first interest rate decision, and that's will be, I guess he goes, what, Tuesday and Wednesday, Dave?
It makes the announcement. Wednesday and Thursday? Is it Wednesday? Tuesday? Yeah, 20th and 21st. That's Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah, the decision on interest rates will come probably Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah. So, and again, we might still see pressure on some gold, you know, because that's just what happens. These are just quick knee-jerk reactions, and everybody's anticipating. Everybody's already placed their bets. You know, so you're going to see, you know, things happen quick. And then I think things are going to bounce back. But it is an interesting week. We also had, you know, again, there was some information. There was a U.S. Treasury official. I thought this was interesting. The U.S. Treasury official, David Malpass, he misspoke, supposedly, after claiming America was pulling out of a decade-old forum economic talks with Beijing. And so maybe that, I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of a big deal, I think. And, of course, he said he misspoke. We already have trade tensions. And they also have the... there could be implications of a new head at China's central bank. So I think there is, I think that is important.
That was a real interesting development. Late last week, I saw a picture of our Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, with, I don't know if it was his counterpart, but a highly ranked Chinese official, finance minister type. In an article that was just announcing the U.S. pullout of that 10-year economic arrangement with China, and now to read today, the quick backtrack, it almost makes you wonder if it, here again, the administration was just throwing something out there, or perhaps they had intended to pull out and they got some, behind the scenes, caution that said, this is a terrible idea. And, they're just kind of throwing this guy under the bus who made the announcement today. Purely speculation, but it makes me think.
Well, and these are the things I think will eventually really had the major impacts where the system, where we do have the system collapse. I mean, it's just not all of a sudden that you have problems with Japan's Abe. He's been quantitative easing till the cows come home. And, he was easy money all the way. He had no plans of pulling back. And now all of a sudden they're going after him for, for his corruption. And yes, he will have to defend himself. But again, is his easy money policy going to change? Going back to China, this guy had a 15-year tenure, and he has steered China through global crises. He overhauled their monetary policy tools. He oversaw the elevation of the yuan to reserve currency status. So he is 70. But he's giving the reins to his longtime deputy, Ying Yang. He's 60, leaving him to continue opening financial markets and capital borders and reducing risk after years of soaring debt. So, and it's interesting, as this central bank chief in the group of 20 economies. He took office when Alan Greenspan was the Federal Reserve Chairman. And so he has forged ties around the world to further integrate China into the global financial arena. He ended the yuan's peg to the dollar, started liberalizing interest rates while boosting the economy to become the world's second largest. I mean, he changed. I mean, so it kind of makes you wonder, why is he even leaving?
Maybe therein lies to some extent Xi Jinping's desire to be president for life, and the recent announcement that the People's Congress of China has amended the constitution to, you know, take away presidential term limits. Maybe he saw all these ministers and deputies around him with all this seniority and saying, hey, you know, if they can do it, why can't I? I mean, I am the prez, after all, the supreme leader.
So it was, kind of interesting to see what type of impacts, and maybe that's, as you said, could be related to what was said. Another world news, we have Vladimir Putin. He won a landslide victory in his so-called tightly controlled election. And so...
I'm so glad you laughed at that there, Melody.
Tightly controlled election.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
Did anybody have any doubt? Elect me, or you get that nerve gas at my...
Yes. My former spy received.
So what says the markets for... We had some record highs in January.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Morgan Stanley is saying that stocks could struggle for the rest of 2018, certainly to break above January's record levels. That is, volatility picks up and investor sentiment dwindles. The Dow Jones Industrial Average and the S&P 500, we know, both hit record highs in late January before briefly dipping into correction territory just a few weeks later. Both indexes were at least 5% removed from those levels as of today's opening. Prior to that correction in February, Melody, the major indexes in the U.S. stock markets had been on a tear in the midst of just an unprecedented period of subdued volatility. The CBOE Volatility Index, which we talk about a lot and which is widely considered the best gauge of fear in our market, hit 8.56 last year. That was a record low. But volatility woke up last month on worries, particularly of rising inflation. And the VIX hit a high of over 50 last month before trading. I think it closed a little bit below money. It was real close to 20. Earlier today, I think it might have closed at 16 or 17, if I'm not mistaken. The indexes, the stock indexes, also got a lift earlier in the year after the Congress passed and the president signed a tax bill that slashes the corporate tax rate to 21% from 35 and made some major cuts overall on the individual side. And those cuts help boost investor sentiment, at least initially. As this Morgan Stanley person said, tax cuts were the event to capture investors' imagination. But the reality, he says, is that the market had been pricing tax legislation in for months, if not quarters. So, I mean, that's sort of the comparison of these days with the last 2 months. And it will be interesting. We're seeing more and more market observers saying now that they believe, even if that sort of like the best case scenario is that the markets won't be any better than they were in late January. A lot of sentiment though is that, well, that is indeed optimistic, that for a variety of reasons that we've been talking about and some that we'll mention again later in this show will result in the market you know, keep making another correction and possibly a real steep one this time, steeper than the correction we saw last month. Melody?
Well, you know, what I found interesting, there's an article out today about cryptocurrencies in Venezuela. Back in August, President Trump signed an executive order to impose financial sanctions against Venezuela. You had Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin tell reporters at a briefing that Venezuela can no longer take advantage of the American financial system to facilitate the wholesale looting of the Venezuelan economy at the expense of the Venezuelan people. President Trump at that point also said he would not rule out military options in Venezuela as the Maduro regime consolidates power. He told reporters in August, "We have many options for Venezuela, including a possible military option." Coming up, fast forwarding to today, President Trump issued an executive order banning any transactions within the United States involving any digital currency issued by, for, or on behalf of the government of Venezuela. This order applies to U.S. citizens as well as anyone within the United States and includes cryptocurrency issued on or after January 9th. Now, I don't know why January 9th. You know, and the executive orders being, you know, I don't know the reasons behind this, but he says this order is in response to recent attempts by Maduro's regime to circumvent U.S. sanctions by issuing a digital currency. And, of course, we all remember that Venezuela did launch its oil-backed crypto in February to help pull the country out of its problems. Maduro said that each petro token would be backed by one barrel of the state's national petroleum. And he said roughly 100 million tokens would be issued, estimated to be worth about $6 billion. We did see Bitcoin prices drop about $200 to around $83.88. This was according to Coinbase following the order, the executive order. So I find that interesting. And, you know, we were going to talk about, I don't know if we mentioned it, or we're going to talk about how China's, isn't it oil-backed currency?
Yes.
Yuan, to begin. Yeah. And so, I don't know. It's kind of interesting to see this being issued at this time to Venezuela. Isn't it next week?
Monday.
We'll talk about that a little bit when we come back. I hear the music, and I got a great special for you folks out there. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And I got a great little special today for you. I have received some 90%. Haven't had 90% specials for a while. This is brilliant, uncirculated 90% quarters. And they're just absolutely beautiful. And I can get them at a good price. And not only that, 90% silver with the pressure on silver is so dirt cheap. Basically, you're paying the price for BU quarters of what regular 90% sold for less than a year ago. So it really is a super deal. So we have we're going to start with small packages. You can buy more than one, but we're going to start with a small package. It's $25 face value, a brilliant uncirculated 90% quarters. And along with that, we're going to include a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. That package is $470. And if you purchase two or more, we'll include free shipping. So $470 for $25 face value, brilliant, uncirculated, 90% quarters, and a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles. And you know what? Once I started selling the brilliant uncirculated, we always sold because the premium was so high that you just bought the circulated, and it was fine because you got more silver for your money. But now that I've been buying these brilliant uncirculateds at such a cheap cost, inexpensive cost, you just can't beat it. They're absolutely beautiful. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to these programs live or archived. So great website, dgscoins.com. Going into the break, we were talking about the executive order today banning transactions within the United States involving any digital currency issued by, for, or on behalf of the government of Venezuela. And my thought was they wanted to push this oil-backed currency. And we were talking about the yuan being backed by oil. So my big question is this one way to intercede any competition for the U.S. dollar-backed petrodollar? So don't know. Coincidence? Is it a coincidence? Or is there something a little more to it? And will we be seeing any other changes once this, once these contracts begin to be processed? Any idea, any thoughts, Dave?
On the yuan-based
yes.
oil futures?
Yes.
Some we're going to talk about in the third segment in the show. Shall we wait and discuss the whole thing then?
If you have something you want to go on to, sure, we can do that.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I found it interesting. I think there's a lot of credence to what you said as a possible reason, especially given, China's impending, new attempt at sort of dethroning the dollar for oil purposes. Our Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, said a little while ago, I think he was trying to divert attention away from the real reasons or legitimately, certainly a legitimate concern, and that being that, with respect to digital currencies, that the U.S. focus is on making sure they're not being used for illegal activities. Money laundering has been one of those activities that we've been hearing a lot about, particularly last fall as Bitcoin made its inexplicable or rise through the clouds. I find it interesting now that, you know, if you're a Bitcoin wallet, you're subject to these same regulations as a bank. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the coming weeks. It does seem like the crypto market is reacting to that with Bitcoin and Ethereum and some of the others, either stagnant or down some today.
You know, I was reading a brief article. It didn't have a lot of it was a video, and I hate watching videos. I'd rather read the article, but it was talking about the taxes that you have to pay on these cryptocurrencies, and they're amazing. They're talking about 60%. So, you know, you could be making a what?
Oh no, I'm just going to wait till you finish and then ask you who are the taxes paid to?
The IRS.
What if you're just your country of origin, essentially? Like if I'm a, do we know, I mean, that presumably holds true regardless of what country you live in?
Yes, the IRS. Yeah, it's considered income.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tack on some other things. And if you make purchases with your Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
you're actually taxed twice because Bitcoin or the cryptocurrencies aren't considered money. So they actually tax you. If you make a purchase with your cryptos, you're actually taxed twice. And governments and ours, the IRS was actually going after, I don't know if it was Bitcoin, but they were actually going after them, wanting the records and so forth of the sales of, you know, $20,000 and so forth. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. They're not going to let that go. You know, they're going to go after it. They're going to go after it hard and heavy. So I'm thinking, you know, you make a great profit and 60% of it goes to taxes. That's pretty steep.
Sounds like the 80s to me, Melody.
Yes, it does. Well, that was before my time.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
I hear anyway.
But
that was before the really good old days of the 90% top marginal rate.
But you know what? You hear these people pitching these cryptos saying, oh, they're going back to the sky. This is where you want to be and so forth. And it's just like, no, you don't. Why would anybody sell your gold for cryptocurrencies? I don't even know. I can't even say the words on the radio that why would people do it? And, you know, and then try to get out of it. Rob West on this very program said that he took $2,000. You know, if you want to speculate a little bit, that's one thing. But, I mean, to sell your portfolios of gold to buy cryptos, you'd have to be, I don't know who you're talking to, but you shouldn't listen to him. Rob West invested $2,000, making $43,000, but he can't sell it. He can't sell it until October. Who knows where it might, I'll bet it's a lot lower today, you know, and he can't sell it. So what's the point? You know, I just don't understand why people fall for these gimmicks and these Ponzi schemes. So anyway, I don't mean to get off on that, but, you know, stock market is probably one of the biggest Ponzi schemes around, but yet, hey, people are in it hook, line, and sinker. In fact, I saw a report where there was more money last week funneled private investors into tech stocks last week. I mean, it was a record. And then you have this today. So people don't learn. You know, they think it's just going to continue to go higher. And they get in, and it doesn't matter. They ignore the fact that all of these 2x4s, all these leaves in the breeze are floating around. They ignore any sense of of rational thought when it comes to investing, because you're walking into the biggest casino in the world, and I guess that is the attraction there. It's exciting. And I just can't, I would never want to give up my life savings for excitement. You know, but anyway, I didn't mean to go off on that. Let's talk about those 900 employees of Caterpillar.
I don't, geez, I'm mesmerized. I'm all ears. Well, from the fantasy world of cryptocurrency to, geez, real life dilemmas. You know, we've been talking, we were talking last week a lot about Toys R Us and the imminent liquidation of all of its stores, and, you know, the permanent layoff of all of its employees. Now, today we're reading about Caterpillar Incorporated could lay off nearly 900 employees. That would result from closing two facilities it owns in Texas and in Panama, and as well as a third manufacturing plant in Illinois. That's a part of a corporate restructuring that company officials said had been in works for months. Now, the closure of the work tools facility in Waco, Texas, and a demonstration center in Panama would affect a total of about 280 full-time and contract jobs. And Caterpillar subsidiary Progress Rail is also contemplating the closure of an engine manufacturing facility in LaGrange, Illinois. Now, it would affect non-manufacturing related jobs on the Illinois campus. That includes about 600 office jobs, engineering, and support roles. Reuters was reporting that these layoffs and facility closures, they reported them last Friday. And apparently these layoffs and closures it looks like they may have already taken place or about to imminently. This is, a lot like some of the retail company, the retail stores and parent companies that we've been reading about as well. We mentioned Macy's in the past, Bon-Ton Stores, which has been a struggling department store operator, filed for bankruptcy last month. They've tried a voluntary restructuring that failed as part of a reorganization plan, and now it looks like they're just running out of options to keep the lights open. Say it on a personal level, Melody, it's the first department store I remember personally as a young boy actually, you know, milling about with my one grandmother. I was in the downtown of the city that I grew up in, but this apparently would be big. Bad news for Bon-Ton's employees and investors. Good news for its rivals like Macy's, JCPenney, and Kohl's, which obviously would be in a position to capture, no pun intended, a ton of Bon-Ton's lost revenue. So, you know, that's sad. But not surprising. It's part of the Amazonation of the nation, I believe. And we're certainly not going to be surprised to see this continue over the coming years. Don't you think?
I think so. And for those who are listening out west and so forth, I don't know how, you know, I don't know if Bon-Ton was just an East Coast chain or if it went across the nation and so forth. But I remember when I was little, Bon-Ton was a fairly, significant high-end store. I mean, it just, it was, you know, it was much, you know, higher end than Penny's or Sears at that point in time. And you could see the gradual decline. And again, it's the same thing that you see in Macy's. And I mean, you used to go into these stores, and maybe it's just the East Coast. I mean, I lived in Arizona many years, and it's newer. It was newer out there, so of course all the stores were nicer, and you know, and so forth. So I don't know if it was location, or if it's happening all across the country. But when I'm here on the East Coast, since I've been back here for so many years, I mean, you go into these stores, you know, there's stains on the carpets, and you want high-end merchandise. But again, it's also a sign that we began buying our things. We were sending our manufacturing out of this country to areas where there just wasn't the quality control. You know, all these multinational corporations were there to please the shareholders. So the clothes were made cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. Now you can basically see through them. The material is so thin. You wash it once or twice and you have to go out and buy something new because it just doesn't last. And so you just see the decline of the quality, not just in the merchandise, but also in the stores. Who wants to go into a store? When we talked about this on Friday, Toys R Us. Who wants to go into a store, a Toys R Us, when it's a dirty old warehouse that, you know, really doesn't give you any idea of what you're looking for? Things are piled on top. You know, the more they can cram pack in there, like they're going to sell more. It isn't a pleasant shopping experience, and that's what shopping was kind of all about. You went shopping for this, you know, you only shopped not for a daily habit or anything. You didn't shop until you dropped, but when you did go shopping, it was a pleasant experience. Well, it's not like that anymore.
Great place for kids. Never liked it as a parent. It was inevitable that on each trip it would be, did you see Jake? Where's Hannah? I mean, it was a tough place for parents because it was Box City. It was a great place for hide and go seek. And, you know, if your kids are like mine, you know, listeners, it's, you know, you just, there's a lot of yelling going on at Toys R Us stores.
but anyway, I guess there was some more stress. We don't talk much about jewelers, but as another retailer, they're also having issues, Dave.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Signet Jewelers just unveiled a three-year plan for returning that company to growth. They're sort of the parent company for stores like Kay Jewelers, Zales, and Jared, all big TV advertisers. Who aim to close more than 200 stores by next February 2019, and also to upgrade its e-commerce business, you know, to help it reverse its recent disappointing financials.
All righty, let's go ahead and take a short break. Dave and I will be back right after these messages.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host Dave Allen. Remember, folks, we got the $25 face value, brilliant uncirculated, 90% quarters, along with a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, all for the low price of $470. If you purchase two or more of those packages, of course, we'll include free shipping for you. So give Carla, she's waiting for your call. Make her phone ring, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Well, it looks like, and it's amazing, that the U.S. gross national debt climbed $72.8 billion in one day on Thursday. The Treasury Department reported that Friday afternoon, this March 16th, was a historic date of gloomy proportions, because on this date, the U.S. gross national debt punched through the $21 trillion mark and reached 21.03. Hey, we're really good at something, aren't we? Yeah.
I hope that was loud and clear.
We're beating everyone out there. On September 7th, of last year, a little over 6 months ago, just before the Congress had suspended the debt ceiling, the gross national debt stood at 19.84. That really is amazing. $19.84 trillion, September 7th, 2017. And now we're 21. In those six-plus months, 132 reporting days, to be precise, the gross national debt spiked by $1.186 trillion. And whatever it was, wherever it went, we'll never be told. It added 6% to the gross national debt in just 6 months. And with 2017 GDP at $19.74 trillion in current dollars, the gross national debt now amounts to 106.4% of GDP. This was the largest spike in the gross national debt over a period of 132 reporting days going back to 2011. And that was during the depth of the financial crisis, when Ben Bernanke was out there with his helicopter and all heck was breaking loose, and we all thought that the U.S. dollar was going to be replaced and reset at that point in time. You had markets freezing up. You had millions of people losing their jobs. And now we're in good times. We're supposed to have an economy that is nonstop, and yet we have these kind of debt numbers. And everybody thinks that we can grow ourselves out of our debt. And the only thing I'd say to that, anybody who thinks that, they're insane. Because there's just no way that we're going to be growing ourselves. The system, the debt, will be restructured, period. It's debt we can't pay. It's not going to change. It's not going to trickle down. I don't care how many tariffs you put on, and no disrespect to tariffs, okay? No disrespect to tariffs. hey, tax cuts. Hey, I'm an S corporation. Those tax cuts will benefit me greatly. But I don't think it benefits our country. Okay? We can't continue. I mean, already we're seeing our debt rise February because of $5 billion that supposedly tax reform ran the revenue short. So it's people don't get one-on-one, it's equals two, and that it's that black and white. And Dave, it just amazes me that it doesn't matter to anyone. It doesn't seem to matter. And yet as this debt continues to climb, the structures are weakening. But yet, hey, I'm going into Bitcoin because that's the best thing out there. Or, hey, I'm going into, you know, something else because these are hitting all record highs. It's like, don't people get it? It's not new. It's not like this is the first time this is happening. That's what amazes me. This isn't, people are going into land. Now's not the time to buy land. Now's not the time to buy land. And I hear analysts out there telling people, oh, buy, you want to buy land. No, you don't. Prices are going to drop. You wait for those prices to drop. Why would you buy land now when we're having a boom in, supposedly a boom in the real estate market and prices are at the top? Why would you buy land now? You're supposed to buy land when it drops. Then you can sell your gold. When gold prices are higher, land is lower, you convert those gold pieces, a few of those, into pennies on the dollar on land. You don't buy it now. Good grief. There'll be plenty of land up for sale when it hits the fan. There'll be a lot of land up for sale when the heck hits the fan. So I didn't mean to go off on a... It just...
Melody, I'm aghast at your cynicism.
You are.
That you could sit there and go off on rants and just lack impatience when 4% growth is just around the corner. Oh, no, wait a second. That's been revised downward, hasn't it? Yeah. When 3% growth is just around the corner. No, wait, that's been revised downward, hasn't it? When 2.5% growth is just around the corner. You get my point. It's a tale of two cities. One is the bill of golds that we've been the bill of goods. No pun. Oh boy, that was a Freudian slip. The bill of goods that we've been sold. The other is reality. Folks, hear Melody's words. They ring true.
I mean, it's just, there's no one in this country that I wouldn't want to see us grow our way out of our debt more than me. I'd be all for it if it made sense. But none of this makes sense. How can anybody say that it makes sense? And so I get baffled, and I get people who want to argue with me, thinking that, you know, oh, you know, we're going to grow. No, we're not. You don't have a clue. You don't have a clue how much debt we have in. We're barely paying the interest as it is. And if he raises it another quarter point, we're responsible for more. So, and I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but as our rates increase and bond yields increase, how would that affect China, who holds so much of our debt? Would that encourage them to sell more, or would it, or they still have to wait until those bonds mature?
Well, generally speaking, they have to wait until the maturity dates. I mean, there are some notes that have earlier call dates. Mm-hmm. Than their maturity rates, but one thing, one option China, and as well as any other owner of you know, our bonds has, is to resell them in the secondary market. You know, and those prices fluctuate, you know, throughout every day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, on the one hand, as the rates climb, you know, the so-called par value of the bonds declines. So, you know, it could get. I think there are probably other reasons that would give China, as our largest debt holder, more incentive to drop to resell bonds they're holding. One is, as we've mentioned over the last 2 weeks, is, you know, would be as a reaction to retaliate against U.S. tariffs. Another could be, you know, a way for them, in concert with their new yuan-backed oil futures contracts, you know, as a way to manipulate the U.S. dollar. Yeah, we live in real interesting and tenuous times, and we've just got to pay close attention, because the safe haven in times of geopolitical turmoil remains gold and silver.
Do you think that the since we know that government is already forecasting record issuance of net new treasury debt just to order the surging deficits, the market's going to have to absorb this debt? Can they, just as the Fed is going to start unloading the treasuries, will the market absorb it? Or,
well, it's a good question. A lot of things are converging.
Yeah.
This year, I mean, if China is, you know, trying to play the UK, other European countries, it's gotten Russia on board. It's now going to try. It's in the process of trying to renegotiate trade agreements with Saudi Arabia, who's the largest exporter of oil in the world, and you know, through other trade arrangements with countries across the globe, with its Silk Road infrastructure initiative, where China has, you know, essentially committed close to $1 trillion to build and improve roads and bridges and sewer and water projects throughout Europe and parts of the Middle East and Asia. I mean, the table is being set for a transition, and whether, you know, it's a transition that slowly evolves over the next 10 or 20 years, or whether, you know, that things like that converge with other world events, and, you know, all of a sudden this evolution is a quick transformation. Who knows where we'll be? I suspect there's still going to be plenty of demand for our bonds, at least initially, even if you know, China should choose not to buy any more of it. But if, you know, they decide, in addition to that, to start dumping what it has, that could prove to be interesting, and that, as we know, will have the effect of further driving up rates, and you know, it all just comes crashing down. It all's the same result.
I think that they'll do it slowly and gradually, because I think that's going to be more painful for us and less painful for them.
Well, that's very likely. You know, it's interesting. One of, I can't say it's a favorite, one of the most memorable lines of a movie, from a movie that I've watched over the years, I forget the name of the movie now, but this rings true. The only thing worse than dying is knowing that you're going to die a slow death. And that could, in fact, be, you know, in the back of the minds of the Chinese and Russian and other countries' leaders.
Well, you know, you said you see this transition, and yeah, you know, these huge countries, and the United States, it's going to play a role. I get that, but yet, how much impact can we, I mean, and all these countries, though, are just as much in debt as we are. So they have different types of debt, though. It's like China, they're willing, I talked to Corbett about this, and I mentioned it on this program also. You know, China, they took their debt, but they built infrastructure. They didn't put it towards their stock market. They didn't put it towards so the bankers get more powerful and the multinational corporations become more powerful. We didn't turn our economy into Wall Street. We didn't turn our country. So it is different, I think, how our debt was used to the point of how we go forward. Because our debt has allowed all these other countries to prosper on our backs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in a different position. We all have this, you know, and you know, China has tons of debt, you know, with all the major countries have tons of debt. So, you know, maybe all countries will somehow there's going to be an adjustment coming. So it's, and the thing of it is, it doesn't fare well for anyone who has worked hard, who has saved, who has pension accounts, retirement accounts. It's not going to fare well for them. Sure, if you don't have anything and you don't have any retirement and, you know, this and that, I get that. You might not be as impacted. I think we all will be somehow, some way. You know, if prices rise, it rises for everyone. If food prices rise, it rises for everyone. So we're all paying. So, you know, we don't eat as much. We don't eat as well. But
the day of reckoning is coming, Melody.
It is.
So the best way to be prepared is what?
1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coins. We're here for you. And we're out of here. Tomorrow we have Greg Hunter joining us with Pastor Butch Paul, so make sure you tune in. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
In my dreams.